If you look for it, every day has cause for celebration. Celebrate a friend for their promotion, baby wedding, life thing. Celebrate yourself for keeping the couch warm. It's no easy feat, especially if it's a big couch. Or maybe you just want to celebrate living in 2023, where you can get beer, wine, and spirits delivered from Drizly in under 60 minutes without leaving said couch. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com and get your favorite drinks delivered today.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. When Pat Borlenket's mom got sick and was nearing her last days, something inside Pat moved him to begin writing songs. In fact, he wrote more than 60 songs. "It was her last gift to me," he remarked. He narrowed those songs down to a dozen, and they became the songs that is on his latest record, which he unintentionally finished recording on Mother's Day. Pat joins me on the latest edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about that journey and the rest of his musical career. Hi, Pat. Welcome to the Americana Music Profiles podcast today.
How's it going?
Good. Thanks for taking the time to join us and talk about your music.
All right. Thanks for the opportunity.
So you are in New York, correct?
That's right. Long Island.
Yeah. Okay. So you have a new record just dropped, right? A couple days ago. Obvious World. Is that I got the name right?
It's a single. I've been releasing singles every 4 weeks.
Okay.
There's 11 songs in total that I recorded over a 2 month period in the Catskills, which wrapped up in May. But I've been releasing these songs every 4 weeks on streaming services while I figure out how to tie them all up.
Okay.
So I'm releasing them as I go.
So did I have the name correct, or is that the name of one of the singles that's out?
Yeah, that's the Obvious World is a single I released yesterday.
Okay.
Which is the fifth one that I've released. This is the fifth month I'm doing this and dropping these. Yeah, so yeah. It's the fifth song, Obvious World, which came out yesterday.
Do you have a name for the overall collection, the album name? Is that established yet?
That's, you know, I'm kind of feeling it out as I go.
Okay.
So, it's kind of crazy how the music industry's changed. Like,
I know. Yeah.
In releasing things, like 10 years ago, I was doing electronic music and totally different genre and still releasing things digitally. But at that point, there were many options and a lot of different roads and channels that you could go down, like Bandcamp,
yeah,
Facebook, Spotify, and SoundCloud, and Tumblr. And now it's like, Spotify.
So right.
By releasing an LP once with dumping all these songs out without a marketing strategy didn't make sense to me with the landscape now. So I'm kind of just releasing these songs and trying to ride this algorithmic thing that Spotify touts.
Right.
Yeah.
So you mentioned previous recordings and that kind of thing. So how long have you been pursuing music, recording? How long has that been part of your life?
Yeah. I started as like a 13-year-old. I was singing, not really singing, more like screaming in hardcore and metal bands and stuff like that, hardcore punk bands. My first show was we played at a bar, which was right off of one of the main train stations in Long Island, and these poor, like, you know, businessmen were coming off the train on Monday trying to have a beer in this like bar, and then we set up and started screaming for like 45 minutes and I could see the look of dismay. That was my first show.
Yeah.
The second, they cut the amps on us, like kind of like a hardcore version of Bob Dylan.
Uh-huh.
They cut all the amps in 2 minutes. So those were my first shows.
Yeah.
When I, you know, got into like expanded my tastes, luckily, when I was a teenager later on, and started making like electronic music that was influenced by like Aphex Twin and that kind of stuff in my 20s. And I took a break from music. I started a marketing business 10 years ago.
Okay.
And that kind of took up a lot of my time. But what got me to get back into music was my mom had cancer for a long time, but she started really declining October.
This past October. Yeah.
A year ago, she started declining very quickly and went on hospice and things got crazy. Now my muse had like avoided me for quite a long time up until that point.
So you weren't actively pursuing any sort of music at that point at all?
You know, messing around, picking up the guitar once a month and writing a song, never doing anything with that. Went on for like 5 years.
Wow. Okay.
And then my mom got sick, and the muse, you know, opened the door and came back into my life at a very inopportune time, but I had this fire in me. So my mom was in the house, in home hospice. I had hired an aide to live with us, and my mind was racing with these song ideas, and I had music in my head constantly. In retrospect, that was kind of a defense mechanism, I think, to deal with the situation and give me some cognitive dissonance or remove me mentally from what was happening, cushion me, whatever. So I'd be downstairs with my mom, have these songs in my head, run upstairs, record them on a voice note like a teenager with the amp turned down and be quiet, and I'd have to come back downstairs because the aide would call me.
Yeah.
And I was trying to be present as possible, but I felt like I had to make this music. At this point, I had a house in the North Shore of Long Island that was kind of abandoned because I had moved back to the house I grew up in to take care of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I would drag all my equipment to this abandoned house and then kind of try to work on the music without disturbing my mom and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be 30 seconds into a song and get a call from the aide to drive all the way back. That happened multiple times. It was chaos, but in retrospect, it was my mom's gift to me, I think. So the day she passed away, the muse kind of disappeared. The fire went out. Whether I anticipated that happening or not, or it happened, and I didn't have any juju left at all that very day.
Wow.
Went out, but I had a phone with like 60 songs on them that I was happy with, and that's coming from not writing a song in 5 years. So along the way, I had been connected to this guy, Kenny Siegel, and the Catskills through a cool friend, and he had worked on that Langhorne Slim record, The Way We Move, and heard about this guy. So we had been emailing and texting back and forth over those months, and I had sent him those 60 songs, and he's crazy enough and diligent enough and professional enough, he actually listened to the 60 songs and he narrowed them to 12. I couldn't do that. He narrowed them down to 12 songs.
Yeah.
And then built a band around me, and we started making a record together.
Wow.
So it was kind of a dream. I had never dream come true. I had never been in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Always made music by myself in my bedroom and used Reason on a laptop and mixed and mastered myself. And now I had a whole team of people who knew what to play before I did and had their own inputs on the song. So we made a record together over 2 months. And the last day we recorded, I didn't plan this. That was Mother's Day. That was day, and worked with some amazing people that came in and out of this, you know, where we recorded. It's called Old Soul Studios, and it's a house that Kenny's converted into this amazing atmosphere. But there were all these people in and out of there that were working on the record, and One of them was John Sebastian of the Lovin' Spoonful. I got to work with him.
Yeah,
which was really,
that's awesome.
Laid down harmonica on a couple of songs in a legendary fashion in like one or two takes, and it was so good we didn't need to continue. It was effortless, and we spent the day with John, went into town, snuck beers into a Japanese restaurant, got ice cream. He told us stories. I listened. I didn't talk. I just listened for hours. I said three things and listened to his stories. One of the stories was...
And you didn't know him prior to this?
No.
Yeah.
I just met him. And one story was the Doors. I guess the Doors, the manager of the Doors had called John Sebastian in the late 60s and said, I have this guy in the studio, Jim Morrison, and he's like not doing anything. He's not singing. He's doing everything in the studio but singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to come to California and, like, straighten this guy out.
Wow.
You know, no one knew who Jim Morrison was at that time, I guess.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, so John Sebastian flew to California, and the result of that meeting was John Sebastian's harmonica on Roadhouse Blues, which I didn't know.
No, I didn't either. That's awesome. That's a cool story.
Blowing, and now I hear that song and I can't not hear his harmonica, but that was cool. So got to work with him, got to work with bunch of different people, from the guitar player of Norah Jones, the bass player of Norah Jones, excuse me.
Yeah.
The guitar player who works with Sean Lennon, and had Paul Caldery. I met him and he mixed. He did Pablo Honey, Radiohead's Pablo Honey and Pixies stuff. He came and mixed. And it was just like not only a dream come true, but I learned so much about the craft of recording in a setting like that and mixing. And it was incredible. So now I have these 12 songs and I'm kind of releasing them 4 weeks. And just, you know, I have all this marketing experience because that's my business. But I'm marketing my own music, which I hate. So it's not somebody else's product or service. It's my own product.
I'm sure that makes it different.
It's hard. Yeah. Because it's a different, it should be easy because I know how to do this, but it's depressing and difficult. I'm finding it.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back.
Oh, we're in for a long one. A long weekend, that is. And you deserve to spend it on the couch with a glass of something good. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered quickly. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
Welcome back to the interview.
Are you having to relive some of the moments that you were in when you created those songs?
Yeah, I mean, some of the lyrics in the songs are, you know, it might seem morbid to somebody else, but I don't look at it this way. But it's some of the things that my mom was saying in the last weeks of her life. Now, I would write them in notepads. And the hospice nurse, that there are many people in that stage of the end of life. There's hospice people in and out of your house. There's nurses. There's a whole team of people, a rotating cast of people. And you're having a lot of conversations behind closed doors about money and the process and life and death and all that stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things I learned from one of the hospice nurses was to start listening in metaphor. And my mom was in her, when she was well, was a very straightforward person and didn't speak in metaphor. She spoke very matter-of-factly.
Mm-hmm.
But now, all of a sudden, she was talking in metaphors and stuff, and I was trying to learn how to interpret that stuff. So some of that stuff ended up in the music. And, you know, I don't, when I listen to it, I don't, it doesn't bring me back to that situation, but the recording process was definitely extremely difficult at times. It was very, like my mom passed away and I went right into recording. There was no break. And I did that kind of purposely. Like I went right into it as like a grieving process.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, the weight of things would hit me at, when I have to sing for 10 hours, and they were like long 10-hour days, by the way, I'd just get exhausted. I had never been that tired in my life. And just like at the end of the day, I'd literally collapse, just the mental weight of things and mm-hmm. all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Kenny was amazing. The producer who, you know, a lot of it was mental. Making a record is mental to me. So he would guide me through those ups and downs, you know.
Yeah. When did you make the connection that this was supernatural, if you want to use that word, you know, beyond something that, you know, that you plan to record an album, you start writing songs, you know, you go through that process, but this sounds like there was obviously more, more going on, you know, from a higher perspective.
Yeah. You know, I just thought of it as, my mom knew my dream in my life was music, and I had deferred that and like self-sabotage that for so long.
Mm-hmm.
That the fact that this was, she had one foot here and one foot somewhere else.
Yeah.
So the fact that it went away when she was no longer here is enough for me.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Now, will you try to use the material that you didn't use for this record? Is there enough that you would maybe try to do this again?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Kenny, when he narrowed down those 60 songs, he created an A list and a B list. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. you know, A list he wanted to do, and then the B list needed work, and he thought there was potential, and then we just went with the A list. But I think some of the songs on the B list are better and you know, went with. So I'm still compiling and I'm writing, and I don't have the inspiration that I did a year ago or 9 months ago, but there's still inspiration there. So yeah, I have a few of those B-list songs and new stuff I've written that I'm gonna work on and do this all over again in a year.
Yeah,
probably. I'm not gonna stop here, so that's it, for better or worse.
Yeah. Have you been able to get out and share these with an audience? Have you been able to perform them in public?
Yeah, I mean, I had one show so far.
Mm-hmm.
They opened a farm. They started a farm on the in Long Island, like out east.
Mm-hmm.
And they're opening. They had all these people and friends in the public and so forth. So they asked me to play under this like giant spinning wind turbine thing. But the sound was really good. And just played the songs with no one else, no accompaniment. One of the challenges of this is because they were session musicians who worked on the album, I don't have a band,
right.
You know what I mean? I mean, those guys I could hire, but I'd have to schedule them and do all this stuff. But so these songs I can play alone, which I did, and I'm comfortable with that, but I think they'd be most effective with a band behind me. But if it ever came up to have a big show, I would try to rally them up to do that.
Do you have how far out are you thinking? Do you have an intention with this? I mean, do you want to try to get out and get on the road and tour with it a little bit? Or are you just content with?
Definitely do that. I mean, I'm just seeing where this is going. It's,
yeah.
It's like I'm starting from scratch again. Project closed down. I just lost my mojo on that, and I had some success with that. But I didn't continue in that vein. This is much different stylistically, so I'm starting over.
Yeah.
And I'm starting from literally zero and trying to wrap my head around all these the way to do this now,
yeah,
digitally, and it seems like that's the way to get listenership is you have to go through these gatekeeping digital services and
right.
then go from. Could be wrong, but I don't see it as playing in a club and I'm going to get discovered and have limos outside and
yeah,
I don't think it works like that now. So,
I'm afraid you might be right. It's unfortunate if you're old enough to remember that experience. As a player or a listener, there's something, I hope we don't lose it entirely. There's something special about that.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to harness my experience and my expertise in marketing and digital stuff turn that, get as much listenership as I possibly can. And then when I have some people who care, I definitely play out.
Yeah.
The way. Who knows? The plan could change, but that's, I have no idea what I'm doing. Honestly, every 4 weeks I'm putting a song out, seeing and we'll go from there. But, it's opened some doors pretty quickly, so I'm happy about that. And as long as I can keep doing this, I'm just not going to stop.
That's it. Do you have a sense of where your music connects? Have you been able to identify an audience at this point?
Yeah, it seems like the Americana audience has responded the most. You know, just I don't want to get into boring data with digital marketing stuff, but you know, I run these different campaigns and, you know, you could target, people's meet interests. And, by far the genre, you know, the music interest that occasions the most listenership is Americana music.
Yeah. I listened to a few of them on the record, and one of the ones that, my early favorites is, Babe in the Woods. It has a very bluesy Americana feel to it. That vibe is just right down the middle. So I think you're right on with your analysis.
Yeah, that's the one that's one of the songs that John Sebastian played on. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, he did that like 15 minutes. Yeah. We didn't prep, you know, to continue because it was so good. Yeah, that's all the songs are of. So different stylistically, I think. So not all of them fall under Americana, but I think that's the thread that is tying it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's been the biggest response so far. So I'd have to say that that's the audience that resonates with it the most.
Great, great. Well, that's who listens to the show. So,
Cool.
Good. Well, we'll hopefully line you guys up then.
Cool.
For sure. So if people want to listen to the music, listen to the singles you have out so far, connect with you, especially if they resonate with a story. I mean, obviously there's an underlying story to all of this. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, literally just on Spotify is the best way. And searching Pat, P-A-T, Berlin Kett, Berlin like the city, and then Q-U-E-T-T-E, Pat Berlin Kett. I wish I had a better surname than that, but I can't do anything about it. So that's it on Spotify, Pat Early Kid, and you can hear so far there's 5 songs in there, and those they'll be 12 by the spring.
Okay.
They'll all be there, but every 4 weeks I release it. So if you follow me on Spotify, you know, you'll get the new songs on the release radar, it's called. Get an indicator that a new song has been released, and it just helps me to listen if you listen on Spotify versus Apple Music, but either of those, it's on both of those platforms.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you, Pat. This has been very interesting. I appreciate the story that brought this about, and I wish you continued healing through that journey, and it sounds like you have found a great way to do that, so I wish you great success with this music.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.